Blog Talk Radio.
There's a little song that we sing in our movement down in the South. I don't know if you've heard it, but it has become the theme song. We shall overcome. We shall overcome. Deep in my heart, I do believe we shall overcome. Though I join hands so often with students and others behind jail bars singing it, we shall overcome. Sometimes we've had tears in our eyes when we joined together to sing it, but we still decided to sing it. We shall overcome. No, before this victory is won, some will have to get thrown in jail some more, but we shall overcome. Don't worry about us. Before the victory is won, some of us will lose jobs, but we shall overcome. Before the victory is won, even some will have to face physical death. But if physical death is the price that some must pay to free their children from a permanent psychological death, then nothing shall be more redemptive. We shall overcome. Before the victory is won, some will be misunderstood and called bad names and dismissed as rabble-rousers and agitators. But we shall overcome. And I'll tell you why. We shall overcome because the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice. We shall overcome because Carlyle is right. No lie can live forever. We shall overcome because William Cullen Bryant is right. Truth crushed to earth will rise again. We shall overcome because James Russell Lowell is right. Truth forever on the scaffold, wrong forever on the throne. Yet that scaffold sways the future. Behind the dim unknown standeth God within the shadow, keeping watch above his own. We shall overcome because the Bible is right. You shall reap what you sow. We shall overcome. Deep in my heart, I do believe we shall overcome. And with this faith, we will go out and adjourn the councils of despair and bring new light into the dark chambers of pessimism. And we will be able to rise from the fatigue of despair to the buoyancy of hope. And this will be a great America. We will be the participants in making it so. And so as I leave you this evening, I say, walk together, children. Don't you get weary. There's a great camp meeting in the
cute. Hearing aid.
Okay.
Challenge.
What do you remember about the decision to invite Dr. King? Do you remember some attention on the speakers committee? But he didn't remember when he wrote this book. So he asked me to
Can you hear him?
or you can get laws made to stop the vote. You got judges now that's in Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, and Texas, trying to stop people from right to vote. Back to court with crooked judges. Same thing Hitler did. And the Republican, Hitler, people, the white folks didn't believe in Hitler, was killing all the folks. The Adam House over took pictures. What people was in the oven was filled, was just piled up. And people in concentration camps killing them, women and children. The same thing happened in 2021, when the virus came. Trump said, it ain't nothing. It's over 60 million people been killed by the virus. And Trump never did say wear a mask, never did say clean up, it'll go away. Take some bleach. The same playbook that Hitler wrote, Trump and the Republicans are reading. I want the Republicans to hear it. With what they're doing now, they're reading from Hitler playbook. I want white folks, brown folks, black folks, red folks to wake up. The Republican is playing, is reading out of the book that Hitler left. What I mean by that, they're talking about kill. They're talking about no health care, no welfare. Don't build no bridges. They saying build walls. And the Republicans is going along. We got Republicans that got Hitler playbook. And they Jews. Hitler killed 6 million Jews, and all Jews were with him and killed them. And what you got to understand, we got Jews going along with Trump. And if Trump votes, because Trump is playing the book, the black book, that Hitler book, what Hitler will control the world with. And the Republican is doing the same thing in 2021, right now, as I speak, in the White House. They fought Obama, they fought Biden, and you got Democrats as an undercover Republican. And with Trump. And the sad part, the voters got to work up, wake up. I want to talk about the Hitler syndrome. The Hitler syndrome is evil and murder. And the same thing going on with Hitler syndrome with the rifles and with all the guns, the killings going on. Ain't nobody saying nothing. So the Hitler syndrome been going on ever since Trump got in office. And some of these major corporations is playing out the same playbook, Hitler syndrome. What I mean, Hitler syndrome? Hitler was an evil man. And you got people calling him good, and he was evil. He murdered 6,000 people. The next 6,000 was going to be black, or was going to be attacked. So we got Trump playing out the same playbook. He's killing blacks. White, brown, because reading out of the same evil book that Hitler wrote in 2021 is going on now. The white, you're talking about racism and white supremacy. That's out of Hitler playbook. White is better than black. That's Hitler playbook. You don't need no infrastructure. That's Hitler playbook. And the Republican is going along with Hitler philosophy. And I want you that got good minds to wake up. Now, Hitler was going to take over the world. What you think when all them people stormed in the White House? Trump told them to do that. Because Trump was reading out of Hitler playbook. He's going to have the army and the navy. Lock people up on the street so you can walk the street and put tanks and jeeps in Mississippi, Arkansas, Louisiana, New York, Chicago. That's all the Hitler playbook. Trump was moving out of the history playbook, and he still, and the Republicans is reading history playbook as I speak tonight, in the spirit of Dr. Martin Luther King, in the spirit of Paul Love Dunbar, in the spirit of John F. Kennedy, Robert Kennedy. This was the whole of it. If Dwight D. Eisenhower had seen it, they didn't believe that they didn't believe Hitler was killing these kind of people until they seen it on film. And I want to tell you, white folks don't believe that Trump is trying to overthrow the government. He was trying to overthrow the government as I speak tonight. He was out of Hitler's playbook. Hitler wants to overthrow the world. He wanted to run the whole world. Kill all the whites and the Jews. Kill the blacks. And we want a white race only. That's what Hitler's playbook. Same thing Trump's playbook. Trump is using Hitler's playbook as I speak tonight. So it's important to understand in 2021, the Republican Party is reading out the same book that Hitler wrote, and they're going along with it. I just want the people, the doctors, the lawyers, and let's just see the mass murder in these cities is because this is Hitler's playbook. Let blacks kill themselves. Let Hispanics kill themselves. Let Mexicans kill themselves. Build the wall, don't let them come in. That's out of Hitler's playbook.
Continue to live and grow. If the inexpressible cruelties of slavery could not extinguish our existence, the opposition we now face will surely fail. We are the conscience of America. We are its troubled soul. We will continue to insist that right be done, because both God's will and the heritage of our nation speak to our echoing demands. We are simply seeking to bring into full realization the American dream, a dream yet unfulfilled, a dream of equality of opportunity, of privilege and poverty widely distributed, a dream of a land where men no longer argue that the color of a man's skin determines the content of his character, a dream of a land where every man will respect the dignity and the worth of human personality. This is a dream. With our eyes, the jangling discords of our nation be transformed into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood, and men everywhere will know that America is truly the land of the free and the home of the brave.
And they didn't want him there. Thing that Hitler did, Hitler washed people down with poison. 6 million Jews ain't no accident. That was a realization. After the killing of the 6 million Jews, he was going to kill all the blacks, all the Italians, all the Mexicans. He wanted a total white race. And that's what his whole thing was about. Hitler was an evil man. And anybody speak about him, they're evil too. Because he murdered 6 million people that we know of, maybe more than that. And Trump and white folks are playing out of the same book that Hitler played. Trump was reading out of the same book that Hitler had wrote. And the Republicans, I speak tonight. The Republican is still playing out of that same book, talking about Democrats and Republicans. We got some Republicans is really reading the book of what Hitler did. You got some Democrats is undercover Republicans to block the progress. We think this vote what in Florida, in Texas, those undercover Trump Trump is doing what Hitler doing, you with him, you're part of the 6 million killing 6 million people right now. That kind of stuff is happening. right now. That's the kind of thing that's happening in our world today.
Mr. Dunn, Mr. Scow, and to all of the members of the Nobel Committee, ladies and gentlemen. It is impossible to begin this lecture without again expressing my deep appreciation to the Nobel Committee of the Norwegian Parliament for bestowing upon me and the civil rights movement in the United States such a great honor. Occasionally in life,
the Nobel Peace Prize was given to Dr. King because they think Dr. King had it all. The Trump and before Trump, the racist, what's going on? That people would read in the paper and was trying to bring it. Like in Mississippi, black folks made cotton king. In Louisiana, they made sugar cane king. And in Virginia, they made tobacco king. And what that means, that they made money off of black labor. And blacks didn't get nothing because they doing Hitler playbook, Hitler level book, how to discriminate. And the Jews that he washed out, he poisoned their skin and burned them in ovens. This is 2021. You can't see what the government trying to do. Not the government, the Republicans is still doing the Hitler, doing the stuff with Hitler. And this is the sad part.
We must also realize that the problems of racial injustice and economic injustice cannot be solved without a radical redistribution of political and economic power.
We read one day, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But if a man doesn't have a job or an income, he has neither life, nor liberty, and the possibility for the pursuit of happiness. He merely exists.
I won't say what Hitler did, well, you might understand Hitler and what Hitler did. Hitler took people that wasn't white and killed them, black he killed, all of them that wasn't pure white. He killed 6 million Jews, and he poisoned people. His whole goal in his book was to dominate the world, the whole world. If all the different countries had to get together, Hitler was going to destroy Germany and everywhere else. That's why when the people didn't believe that all the people who put in the prison camp, he was killing. Right now, I'm going to prophesy right now in Texas, where they used to have prison, they got bodies, black men buried out in the yard, got grass up, out in Parchment, different places where they had penitentiaries at. They got black buried right now in unmarked graves, not only in Texas. Right down in Nashville, Mississippi, they got graves unmarked. In Alabama, graves unmarked. The lynching, the murder, that was Hitler's playbook. And black folks were carrying out Hitler's playbook. And because of Dr. King and other white and priestly got together and stopped that kind of stuff going on. But the serious part that is happening again right before our eyes. There's a killing in Chicago, 500 killed, 10 killed, 20 killed. Where that's coming from, Bishop? That's coming from the Hitler playbook that the rifles are such a little gun out of selling guns on the streets to children. This is mass murder in Arkansas, no job. And Dr. King was saying all this happening. This is from, and you got to understand that people don't believe Trump was reading from Hitler playbook to the Joint Chiefs of Staff, saying he wants to take the Army and the Navy and Marine to go in to Chicago and lock it down. Go into New York and lock it down. Go into California and lock it down. That was Hitler. That's what Hitler did. That's what Trump was doing right before these people's eyes. Silly, silly folks. Wake up, white folks. Black folks, wake up. We're seeing another takeover like Hitler. And I want to tell you, with that many people come to the White House to take it over, and the Republican Party said, no, it didn't happen. Hitler syndrome. They read not the same book. Hitler, the book that Hitler played, I would see this, these white folks are so greedy, these corporations is so bent on greed, they let Hitler's spirit come back into America. The name is changed, but the name changed, but it's still the spirit of Hitler. Destroy the black man. Destroy the Jews. Destroy the gay. This is Hitler's syndrome. And it's playing out right now in 2021. It's playing out in Mississippi, Arkansas, Louisiana. What do you think this play come from? Hitler's syndrome is all it ain't. Let's open back up. Business is better because it's mass murder. And this is what Dr. King said.
We must also realize that the problems of racial injustice and economic injustice cannot be solved without a radical redistribution of political and economic power.
We read one day, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But if a man doesn't have a job or an income, he has neither life nor liberty and the possibility for the pursuit of happiness. He merely exists.
Estimated that we spend $322,000 for each enemy we kill in Vietnam, while we spend in the so-called war on poverty in America only about $53 for each person classified as poor.
The promises of the Great Society have been shot down on the battlefield of Vietnam, making the poor, white and Negro, bear the heaviest burdens both at the front and at home.
The other thing I want you to understand is this. And it didn't cost the nation one penny to integrate lunch counts. It didn't cost the nation one penny to guarantee the right to vote. But now we are dealing with issues that cannot be solved without the nation spending billions of dollars and undergoing a radical redistribution of economic power. Yes.
All labor has dignity.
Yes.
But you are doing another thing. You are reminding not only Memphis, but you are reminding the nation that it is a crime for people to live in this rich nation and receive starvation wages. of opportunity to help bridge the gulf between the haves and the have-nots. And the question is whether America will do it. There's nothing new about poverty. What is new is that we now have the techniques and the resources to get rid of poverty. And the real question is whether we have the will.
At the very same time that America refused to give the Negro any land, through an act of Congress, our government was giving away millions of acres of land in the West and the Midwest, which meant that it was willing to undergird its white peasants from Europe with an economic floor. But not only did they give the land, they built land-grant colleges with government money to teach them how to farm. Not only that, they provided county agents to further their expertise in farming. Not only that, they provided low interest rates in order that they could mechanize their farms. Not only that, today many of these people are receiving millions of dollars in federal subsidies not to farm, and they are the very people telling the black man that he ought to lift himself by his own bootstraps. Now, this is what we are faced with, and this is the reality. Now, when we come to Washington in this campaign, we are coming to get our check. I come here tonight and plead with you. Believe in yourself and believe that you're somebody. As I said to the group last night, nobody else can do this for us. No document can do this for us. No Lincolnian Emancipation Proclamation can do this for us. No Kennisonian or Johnsonian Civil Rights Bill can do this for us. If the Negro is to be free, he must move down into the inner resources of his own soul and sign with the pen and ink of self-assertive manhood his own Emancipation Proclamation. Don't let anybody take your manhood. Be proud of our heritage. As somebody said earlier tonight, we don't have anything to be ashamed of. Somebody told a lie one day. They couched it in language. They made everything black, ugly, and evil. Look in your dictionary and see the synonyms of the word black. It's always something degrading and low and sinister. Look at the word white. It's always something pure, high, and clean. But I want to get the language right tonight. I want to get the language so right that everybody here will cry out, yes, I'm black, I'm proud of it, I'm black and beautiful.
What is the relationship between this and the reality of the Negro masses? Wait, do you want
now? Now, you want to know when I say that Hitler syndrome, Hitler took over all the banks. He took off all the courts. He controlled the army and the navy. And those that weren't with him, he killed them. He murdered Syrian Jews. If you look at where we come from now, like Dr. King said, we're still going through that kind of mentality now. And what I mean, that kind of mentality, we have, right now, we got blacks that's in jail, and we got white folks think they better than black folks. This is the Hitler syndrome. in 2021 and 2022, we're still fighting racism, white supremacy. I don't care if you're a doctor, you're a lawyer. I don't care if you got all kind of money. Your skin is still black. And that's the kind of playbook white folks playing out of. And the Republic is really reading Hitler book. And they even hurting white folks too. Because they, and Trump don't care black or white. Trump and his band of people is reading out of Hitler playbook. If you don't believe it, look at his Hitler history. You see he murdered 6 million people and he wanted the white work and he did surgery on he bisexed people and did surgery and try to make a super white race. Trump, you know, Trump talked about that, but Hitler did that. That same book that Hitler reading and the Republican reading, that's what they got on the agenda. I wish somebody help me tonight. This is Dr. King movement night. I got to bring it out. Do you know what happened to Tuskegee? That was from Hitler playbook that they gave all those black syphilis to see how they would react. Hitler did the same thing to the Jews, and they gave sheep to the Native American with chicken pox. Hitler did the same thing to the Jews. I hope I'm helping you tonight. Hitler took the government and banned up, he demanded all the government and put his people in, like all the judges Hitler, Trump them put in place today. They don't want you to vote. Now they want to change the law. And those different governors is reading out the same book. Now, I'm just letting you know, you don't believe it. Check on Hitler. Read the story on Hitler, how he tried to rule the world. He was murdering 6 million Jews. And over 6 million blacks have been murdered and hung right here in America because that same Republican Party gave money to people come from Europe. And reading that same playbook that Hitler wrote out, and they still going by today.
Those moments of unutterable fulfillment, which cannot completely be explained by those symbols called words. Their meaning can only be articulated by the inaudible language of the heart. Such is the moment I am presently experiencing. I experience this high and joyous moment, not for myself alone, but for those devotees of nonviolence who have moved so courageously against the ramparts of racial injustice. And who in the process have applied a new estimate of their own human worth. Many of them are young and old. Others are middle age and middle class. The majority are poor and untutored. But they all unite in the quiet conviction that it is better to suffer in dignity than accept segregation and humiliation. They are the real heroes of the freedom struggle. They are the noble people for whom I might accept the Nobel Peace Prize. I would like to say also that it is a happy experience to know that so many friends who have worked closely with me over the last few years in this struggle are willing to go into their pocketbook and their means and their humble financial situations to come to Oslo, be a part of this experience. And naturally, it is a great pleasure, privilege to have my
wife, my mother and father, my sister and brother, among the many other friends, my close associate, one who has been dearest friend to me in this struggle, Ralph David Abernathy. I would also like to say just a word about the many courtesies extended by the Norwegian people. I have traveled in many lands and many places over the world. Very seldom, if ever, have I found people more friendly than the people of Norway. And we will long remember all of the courtesies extended and your great friendliness. And I particularly want to thank the committee, especially Mr. Jung, for the eloquent words that he uttered yesterday at the ceremony and yesterday evening at the banquet. I can assure you that all of these expressions of support are of inestimable value for the continuance of my humble efforts to make brotherhood, freedom, and justice realities in the United States of America. This evening, I would like to use this lofty and historic platform to discuss what appears to me to be the most pressing problem confronting mankind today. Modern man has brought the whole world to an awe-inspiring threshold of the future. He has reached new and astonishing peaks of scientific success. He has produced machines that think, and instruments that peer into the unfathomable ranges of interstellar space. He has built gigantic bridges to span the sea, and gargantuan buildings to kiss the sky. His airplanes and spaceships have far distance, placed time in chain, and carved the highways through the stratosphere. This is a dazzling picture of modern man's scientific and technological progress. Yet in spite of these spectacular strides in science and technology, and still unlimited ones to come, something basic is missing. That is a sort of poverty of the spirit, which stands in glaring contrast to our scientific and technological abundance. The richer we have become materially, the poorer we have become morally and spiritually. We have learned to fly the air like birds and swim the sea like fish. But we have not learned the simple art of living together as brothers. Every man lives in two realms, the internal and the external. The internal is that realm of spiritual ends expressed in art, literature, morals, and religion. The external is that complex of devices, techniques, mechanisms, and instrumentalities by means of which we live. Our problem today is that we have allowed the internal to become lost in the external. We have allowed the means by which we live to outdistance the ends for which we live. So much of modern life can be summarized in that arresting dictum of the poet Thoreau, improve the means to an unimproved end. confronting modern man. If we are to survive today, our moral and spiritual lag must be eliminated. Enlarged material power spelled enlarged peril. If that is not proportionate growth of the soul, when the without of man's nature subjugates the within, dark storm clouds begin to form in the world. Problem of spiritual and moral lag, which constitutes modern man's chief dilemma, expresses itself in three larger problems which grow out of man's ethical infantilism. Each of these problems, while appearing to be separate and isolated, is inextricably bound to the other. I refer to racial injustice, poverty, and war. The first problem that I would like to mention is racial injustice. The struggle to eliminate the evil of racial injustice constitutes one of the major struggles of our time. Present upsurge of the Negro people of the United States grows out of a deep and passionate determination to make freedom and equality a reality here and now. In one sense, the civil rights movement in the United States is a special American phenomenon which must be understood in the light of American history, dealt with in terms of the American situation. But on another and more important level, what is happening in the United States today is a relatively small part of a world development. We live in a day, says the philosopher Alfred North Whitehead, when civilization is shifting its basic outlook, a major turning point in history, where the presuppositions on which society is structured are being analyzed, sharply challenged, and profoundly changed. What we are seeing now is a freedom explosion, the realization of an idea whose time has come, to use Victor Hugo's phrase. The rumbling of discontent that we hear today is the thunder of disinherited masses rising from dungeons of oppression to the bright hills of freedom. In one majestic chorus, the rising masses are singing in the words of our freedom song, "Ain't gonna let nobody turn us around." All over the world like a fever, the freedom movement is spreading in the widest liberation in history. Great masses of people are determined to end the exploitation of their races and their land. They are awake and moving toward their goal like a tidal wave. You can hear them rumbling in every village street, on the docks and the houses, among the students in the churches, and at political meetings. Historic movement was for several centuries that of the nations and societies of Western Europe, out into the rest of the world in conquest of various sorts. That period, the era of colonialism, is at an end. East is meeting West. The earth is being redistributed. Yes, we are shifting our basic outlooks. Now, these developments should not surprise any student of history. Oppressed people cannot remain oppressed forever. The yearning for freedom eventually manifests itself. The Bible tells a thrilling story of how Moses stood in Pharaoh's court centuries ago and cried, "Let my people go." This is a kind of opening chapter in a continuing story. The present struggle in the United States is a later chapter in the same unfolding story. Something within has reminded the Negro of his birthright of freedom. Something without has reminded him that it can be gained, consciously or unconsciously. He has been caught up by the zeitgeist with his black brothers of Africa, his brown and yellow brothers in Asia, South America, and the Caribbean. The United States Negro is moving with a sense of great urgency toward the promised land of racial justice. Fortunately, some significant strides have been made in the struggle to end the long night of racial injustice. We have seen the magnificent drama of independence unfold in Asia and in Africa. Just 30 years ago, there were only three independent nations in the whole of Africa. But today, 35 African nations have risen from colonial bondage. In the United States, we have witnessed the gradual demise of the system of racial segregation. Supreme Court's decision of 1954 outlawing segregation in public schools gave a legal and constitutional death blow to the whole doctrine of separate but equal. The court decreed that separate facilities are inherently unequal, that the segregated child on the basis of his race is to deny that child equal protection of the law. This decision came as a great beacon light of hope to millions of disinherited people. Then came that glowing day a few months ago when a strong civil rights bill became the law of the land. This bill, which was first recommended and promoted by President Kennedy, was passed because of the overwhelming support, perseverance for millions of Americans, Negro and white, came as a bright interlude in the long and sometimes turbulent struggle for civil rights, the beginning of a second Emancipation Proclamation, providing a comprehensive legal basis for equality of opportunity. Since the passage of this bill, we have seen some encouraging and surprising signs of compliance. I'm happy to report that by and large, communities all over the southern part of the United States are obeying the civil law, showing remarkable good sense in the process. Another indication that progress is being made was found in the recent presidential election in the United States. The American people revealed great maturity by overwhelmingly rejecting a presidential candidate who had become identified with extremism, racism, and retrogression. The voters of our nation rendered a telling blow to the radical right. They defeated those elements in our society which seek to pit white against Negro, lead the nation down a dangerous fascist path. Now let me not leave you with a false impression. The problem is far from solved. We still have a long, long way to go before the dream of freedom is a reality for the Negro in the United States. Put it figuratively in biblical language, we have left the dust to fall to thee. Across the Red Sea, whose waters had for years been hard to along and withered a massive resistance. But before we reach the majestic shores of the Promised Land, that is a frustrating and bewildering wilderness ahead. We must still face prodigious hilltops of opposition and gigantic mountains of resistance. But with patient and firm determination, we will press on until every valley of despair is exalted to new peaks of hope, until every mountain of pride and irrationality is made low by the leavening process of humility and compassion, till the of injustice are transformed into a smooth plane of equality.